Would in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. We're going to read one verse. We're going to read verse 24. We'll pray and then we'll get right into the message. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. Proverbs 18, verse 24. All right, let's read this verse together. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. Thank you, Father, for this verse. And I pray, dear God, we would learn our lesson well tonight. I pray you meet with us and speak to our hearts on this matter. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to speak on a four-word phrase found in this verse, and that is, there is a friend. One of the great blessings there is in life is to have a friend. A true friend is something to be grateful for. I'm not talking about all your friends on Facebook, nor your dog who thinks you're all that in a bag of chips and you think he's your best friend. But I'm talking about a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. One doesn't find too many kind of friends of that caliber too often. And one is fortunate if they can count their friends on one hand. I would like to talk to you about being a true friend. For after all, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. I've heard the sad bemoaning of some that they just don't have any friends, and they can't figure out why. Well, let me say, it's not everyone else's fault. It's yours, and you haven't shown yourself friendly. Perhaps you're unkind. You're ill-mannered. You're hard to get along with. Maybe you're highly opinionated. Maybe you're just negative, selfish. Or perhaps you just think you're God's gift to the world. Maybe you're just plain weird. Maybe you're a jerk. And maybe the only one that can love you is Jesus. My point is, you shouldn't have to tie a pork chop around your neck to get the neighbor's dog to play with you. Show yourself friendly by being a friend. The Bible gives us guidelines for every area of our life and the relationships we are to have with others. It talks about the relationship of a husband and wife, a parent and a child, government and its citizens, a pastor and its church members, and it also addresses this matter of friendship. Now, I am one who believes that I can't decide to have a friend. I can only decide to be a friend. You see, none of us have any control over others and how they will treat us. But we can all choose to treat others kindly and with respect. We can do them good and be a blessing to them. I know there are times in our lives we need to have a real friend, but one is not nearby. Maybe we want to share some good news, and we would like somebody to rejoice with us. Or maybe we just need a shoulder to lean on during a tough time that we're faced with, and see, we just seem to want to have a friend that we can talk to. All the time, we should believers benefit from the friendship we have with our Lord Jesus Christ. He is a friend of sinners. But how much more of a friend is he to the saints? I recall going through a very dark time when I was in Bible college. Seems that all my hopes and dreams were crushed. My situation seemed to be unbearable. And there was anger and there was pain that I felt that I never experienced before. I didn't even let my closest classmates know what I was going through. You know, even though I was in the midst of all these people, I was still lonely, and I needed a friend who could understand. I showed up for soul winning on a Saturday morning with dozens of other men. And before going out with the gospel, we sang the hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." As we lifted up our voices that morning, there were tears streaming down my face. That song meant more to me at that time than ever it did before. It seemed to be written just for me. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. That morning, I found comfort in knowing my friend Jesus understood everything I was going through, and he was going through it with me all the way. He is the nearest and dearest friend one could ever have. What kind of friend is Jesus? He is not only the best friend you could have, but he's also the pattern for the type of friend that we ought to be. A friend is someone who sticks close to you. Our text verse says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly," and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm talking about friendliness, are the qualities that make for a close friend. A close friend is one who cares, one who's compassionate, one who shows concern. And since no one ever cared for me like Jesus, he is the best pattern for friendship there is. The friendship of Jesus shines out especially when it comes to sticking close by our side through thick and thin. Regardless of our failures and our weaknesses, Jesus never turns his back on any of us. He is always there when we need him. He is faithful, forgiving, and he remains with us even when we are at our worst. When those we befriend are in need, we must be faithful and sticking close to them. We must be forgiving when their faults and failures are showing through. Even when they brought their trouble upon themselves by doing something they shouldn't have done. It's no time to ignore them. Or say such things as, "Don't make your problem mine." Or tell them, "Suck it up, buttercup." One of the most precious word pictures of friendship is found in Proverbs 27:6, where it is written, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." A real friend, even when we hurt them, is still faithful, still loving, and doesn't drop you like a hot potato. But an enemy, even when showing kindness to you, is still trying to undermine you and harm you. A Christ-like friend is so completely faithful that even the wounds they receive will not cause them to abandon their friend or turn against them. A true friend comes in when others leave and gives you the truth and love. The truth of this verse is seen in the life of Jesus, for he is everything that we ought to be as a friend. Jesus wounded people with the truth because he loved them enough to die for them. He pronounced several rolls that cut into the hearts of the scribes and Pharisees. Sure, he wounded them, but he was also wounded for them. And because he was, he provided a salvation for them. Those woes were warnings. He was addressing their sin, and he was speaking about the judgment that their sin would bring upon them. So often, when a God-called preacher lifts up his voice like a trumpet and cries aloud against the sins of the people, he's called unchristlike, hateful, and mean-spirited. Yet he's a friend. He loves you enough to address the sin that is hindering your walk with the Lord. that is bringing God's chastisement upon you and wrecking the fellowship you ought to have with your Lord and bringing shame to that wonderful name of Jesus Christ. As for the kisses of an enemy, whoever planted a more deceitful kiss upon anyone's cheek than Judas Iscariot? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 48 and 49, "Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him." A friend is faithful. They are willing to tell you the truth and is one who loveth at all times. The love of a true friend does not go up and down like a yo-yo. They will love you in the good times as well as the bad. When you succeed and when you fail. When you deserve such a friend and when you don't. Jesus is a faithful, constant, unchanging friend. And we need to learn to be that kind of faithful friend to others that we befriend. A friend is someone who cares enough to listen. In Psalm 65, verse 2, we find one of the identifying names of the Lord. And it reads, "O thou that hearest prayer." The Lord invites us and encourages us to come to him with every need and every heartache. He cares enough to listen, and he's more capable to solve our problems, comfort our hurts, lift our burdens, and give us exactly what we have need of. Perhaps there has been times when you have thought, if I only had a friend to talk to, and we forgot that Jesus is right there. And if we only had a little talk with Jesus, everything would be all right. Well, we are not capable to do everything that Jesus can do as a friend. We should all do what we can in helping those that we befriended. Proverbs 3, verse 27 and 28 says this, "Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, Go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee." Then we read this in Galatians 6, 10, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." But something we can always do to meet the need of a friend is be willing to listen and to care and to be for them, be there for them when they have need of us. A friend is someone who knows you well, knows you more than others do. And Jesus is that kind of friend, because he knows you more than anyone else. He is fully aware of the depth of one's heartache. And as our sympathetic high priest, he understands the circumstances one finds themselves in. As mere humans, we are not even capable of knowing the heart of our closest friend the way Jesus does. However, we are able to put ourselves in the shoes of another. And we ought to empathize and sympathize with them. We are told in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, to rejoice with them that rejoice and to weep with them that weep. A Christ-like friend hurts with the hurting, rejoices when good things happen to their friend, and cares for their friend at all times. Jesus promised to take our burdens, cares, and bear them for us. For it is written in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Even though we may not be able to lift the load completely that our friends are under, we can make that load a little more bearable for them. For are we not told in Galatians 6, 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ"? A time of rejoicing is twice as sweet when shared with a friend, while a burden shared is only half as heavy. A real friend is someone who always gives godly counsel and godly influence. This happens to be greatly needed amongst God's people. For so often, we are willing to give only the counsel people want to hear and not the counsel people need to hear. They don't need to hear such damaging counsel as, well, this is what I think you should do. Or what I believe your best course of action is. Or how about getting this advice? Well, just follow your heart. If you as a friend can't give good, godly, biblical advice and preface your counsel with, well, the Bible says, all you do is lead them astray with counsel that is ungodly. You may even be responsible for giving them advice that leads them into sin. Ammon, the son of David, had such a friend whose counsel was wicked. And we read this in 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 1 through 3. And it came to pass after that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister. That means she was beautiful, whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Ammon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Ammon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. Amen. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Now the wicked counsel of Jonadab led Ammon to rape his half-sister, and it eventually cost him his life. I know Ammon could have refused the evil counsel of his friend, but we need to remember the principle that we become like those we spend time with. And if you lay down with dogs, you're about to get some fleas. We can't afford to form close ties of friendship with the ungodly or those who are subtle like the devil. Psalm 1, verse 1 warns us of this very thing. It reads, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." How much better it is to heed what is written in Proverbs 13, verse 20, which says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise." With friends like Jonadab, who needs enemies? I know as a pastor, I have been given unwanted and ungodly advice from other preachers and even church members. You know, I didn't even ask for it. They just felt free to give it to me. And you know what? Those people I really don't consider friends. Never have. And yet they feel free to give me this advice that is unscriptural and ungodly. Now, Jesus is the kind of friend whose counsel is always right. It's true. It's beneficial. And it's in tune with the scriptures. When we as friends are given the opportunity to give counsel and encouragement to a friend, we need to make sure it lines up with what thus saith the Lord, for who wants to be held responsible for leading someone else astray? There are plenty of verses in the Bible that refer to hearty counsel of a friend. Proverbs 27:9 reads, "Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel." The counsel found in the Bible is rich. It is rare. And it needs to be shared with our friends who will be glad that we gave them biblical advice, and hopefully they will heed it. We need to always encourage them to do right. We need to always build them up in the faith. In Romans 14, 19, we are told, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another." Our counsel we give ought to build up our friend. It should be constructive. It should strengthen their resolve to do right and should help them see their situation as God does. This means we best be in God's Word ourselves. That means we need to study it, memorize it, meditate upon it. If we are to give the right kind of counsel and be doers of the Word ourselves, so they will listen to what we have to say. Jonathan happened to be that kind of friend to David. And he had a godly influence and impact upon his friend. And because of his friendship with David, David grew stronger spiritually. And notice what is written about Jonathan in 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 16. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. You will never know you have a real friend until you need one. And then they'll be there for you to encourage you, give you good counsel, listen, build you up spiritually. It is certainly a good thing to be such a friend. But the only way to have that kind of friend is to be one. Jesus is our pattern for friendship. And he also wants to be your closest friend. Have you talked to him today? Have you thought about how much he loves you and how much he cares for you? And has it ever crossed your mind that he would like nothing better than for you to befriend him in return? You say, how can I do that? Well, Jesus tells us in John 15, 14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. By obedience to Christ's command and caring about what brings him pain and what pleases him and spending time communing with him, we have the opportunity to be a friend to the greatest friend this world has ever known. I've heard it said that a dog is man's best friend. Now, I found my wife to be a wonderful friend, but the best friend I have and ever will have, his name happens to be Jesus. No one cares for me like him. He is a friend like no other, and he is one that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, if I am to be his friend, I must show it by obeying his word. So let me ask you tonight, will you be his friend? Are you willing to use his friendship as a pattern for your own? Will you learn to show yourself friendly? Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.